All right, it's episode 25. We've been a little bit delayed. I have chicken pox, so that didn't help us any. And I guess we're kind of lazy. So anyways, episode 25, we're giving away this Kefaru 14er to a lucky guy that left us a lucky guy or gal that gave us a review on iTunes, Podbean, or Stitcher. As always, you can get 20% off at mountainops.com by using the code FATKID. We really appreciate that. If you hear the dog growling, there's kids riding by. So anyways, FATKID at mountainops.com to get 20% off. On this episode, we don't have a guest. We just, over the last, I guess we started in January, we've gotten several questions, and we finally figured this would be the perfect opportunity to answer those questions. Most of the questions have been asked more than once, and so I don't have the names of each individual person, so sorry.
Thank you for asking the questions, and keep them coming, because they do help not just you, but everybody else that has the same question that's not asking. So ask the questions, because unless they're rude or something, like, why did you do that to your hair? We'll probably answer them.
Yeah, and if it's an honest question, ask it. And if I don't know, Tanya doesn't know, you've listened to all of our podcasts. If we don't know, we're not going to bullshit you.
Yeah, and there's a lot we don't know.
Yeah, and I don't know shit every day. She tells me all the time.
You women know how that goes. All right, so I have the questions, because most of them are addressed to Ryan, so I just figured I'd read them off, and if I have anything to add to it, I will. So the first question we have is, who makes the best hunting clothing?
Yeah, that's a loaded question. It's kind of, for me, I'm going to be real honest, I think they're all really close. And it comes down to each individual piece, each microclimate you hunt in, and what pieces fit you the best. First Light doesn't fit as well, or Fit Light doesn't fit as well. It fits different than Sitka, and Sitka fits different than Cryptic. I like to stay in the hunting clothing lines. I do use a little bit of outdoor research. I really do like outdoor research, but I like to stay in the companies that I know are for hunting, and they're putting their money where their mouth is, and they're backing hunting, whether it's conservation, public lands, you know, they back the BHA or the Teddy Roosevelt deal, somewhere along that line. I've been using First Light since it came out in 2007, so I'm a loyal person, so I really like First Light, but Sitka is really hard to beat. They make some great clothing too, and now Cryptic came out with the Altitude line, and I don't know if you guys have seen the Altitude line, but it's a really good line. What I would try to do is get to a place where you can try it all on. None of them are direct-to-consumer sales, so you can try them all on. If you followed Rockslide, you know I don't use Kuyu. We have just kind of separated ways. We have different values, and I'll leave that at that. But for me, I use a lot of First Light mixed in with Sitka and Cryptic. So I would suggest you try each individual line and see what best fits you in the conditions you're hunting. And that can change from year to year.
I think that's true. And if you see any pictures that we post up online, you'll notice that Ryan will be wearing multiple clothing lines in one outfit. Mm-hmm. So that is always a big joke, but I think it's because different pieces work really well together in different lines. And it is really important that you do try on different companies, because one company may cut their clothing to fit your body better than another company, and based on how it fits is going to definitely make a difference in how you feel like it works for you. If you're not, you know, like women especially have a really hard time with finding clothing because it's not cut to our body. So if there's a lot of air, you know, circulating, we won't stay as warm as if the cut was better for our shape of body. So
yeah, and there's unique pieces. You can take the one I didn't even mention, the Kefaru's their Lost Park parka. That is probably the warmest puffy that I have ever worn. So I do a lot of late season glassing in the snow in November for deer in northern Idaho or any place in Idaho. It's really cold. It blows really hard, and there's a chance of snow every year at that time. So that's a piece that I don't wear until November because it is so warm, but come November, I have that piece with me. If you take like the new Sitka Ascent pants, man, if you guys haven't tried them, they are so tough. And they're the right mix of breathability and not too breathable, if that makes sense. So if you're, you know, you're glassing late into the night in September, you're elk hunting, that they don't blow through. The wind doesn't blow through them real easy, but again, it breathes really well. So it's, those are like the perfect pants for September. I really like the corrugate pants. I have the corrugate shorts on right now from First Light. And I really like these in October because they're a little heavier. They breathe really, really well. They dry really well. So you kind of got to take each piece for what it is and make sure it fits you and then try it in that condition. If it works, it works. If not, you can sell it on Rock Slide.
It's true. I have to second the Kafaru Lost Park parka. They didn't make that easy for us.
No, Aaron never does.
That's true. It is so warm. I've worn it now for 2 years, I think. And it, when I was at the shooting school with Red Rock, the wind was blowing so hard and everybody was freezing their butts off, except for me, which is the exact opposite of usually how things go. And I couldn't feel the wind at all through it. It was like, what were we thinking? It was like 20 miles, 30 miles.
Yeah, we were calling between 20 and 30 mile hour wind calls. Another thing on that, Tanya is 5'5 and like a buck 30. Mm-hmm. And she's a schmedium. She can go small, small or medium. She has both in that last park parka for the amount of clothes she's going to put underneath. But she is a medium and it fits you pretty good. But she has freakishly long arms.
Yeah.
So if your wife, if you're looking for a wife or a small statured guy, a medium should fit you. And she can fit a small, but when she raises her arms, it kind of lifts over.
Yeah. But yeah, it is, if you could buy, if I could suggest one piece, if you could only buy one piece of clothing that you could upgrade for this season, it would be that Kafaru Puffy. No doubt. Right. No doubt about it.
If I was picking one piece that I would pick for everybody because they all have this same problem, I do love that parka, but I would pick the Arrow Wool from First Light. I think that's the best base layer I've ever used, and I've used a lot of different base layers. So I would check out the Lost, or the Arrow Wool and the parka. All right, next
up. Okay. I was just going to say, all the stuff that we're going to talk about is going to be on the website. I'll put up the threads to, or the links to all of these products. So if we're rambling too quickly, you'll be able to check that out and be able to link to find the product. It might not always be the company's website, but it'll be to the product somehow, some way. Okay, next question. What optic do you really run? So basically, don't bullshit us. What are you really using it?
Yeah, that's... if money's no object and you want to use the best, Swarovski optics is the best in my opinion.
Okay, so... So what if you can't? I mean, like, say ballpark, you can spend under $500. What would you run?
What's under the best $500? Stuff? If we're talking binoculars, obviously, at that price point, I hope. I really run that new C1 that Maven makes. And that's the thing, is another thing. Just like clothing and fit,
yes,
your eyes are different. When Tanya first started, she really couldn't see the difference. It took her about a year, and after a year, she started picking up details in each optics piece that we had. So, again, you're going to hear this is kind of repetitive. Try to get as many optics to your eyes. You may not need Swarovski. If your eyes don't see the difference, there is absolutely no reason to buy Swarovski optics. Mm-hmm. I have really good eyes, and I notice a huge difference in optics. So get them to your eyes. And to be honest, it's just like clothing. They're all pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like Swarovski, and if I was to pick that mid-range, 1,000 and below, I'm picking Mavens. Mioptas are damn nice. The razors, I personally do not like the Vortex razors, but I know tons and tons of guys, because I talk to them every week, that love the razors. They love the Razor Spotting Scope. They love the Razor binoculars. I'll just tell you a story with Tanya. We started her out. I had pretty much 3 or 4 different binocular companies. And she couldn't tell a difference.
No.
But fast forwarded a year, I had a 12x50 ELs, and I don't remember, because I'm not trying to not pick a name, but I don't remember what we were using, because we do. We had Vortex, we had Mavens, we had a pair of Mioptas for a while, and we actually had a pair of tracked optics for a while. She kept trading me on our elk hunt. I'd go back to my binoculars, and I had the 12 ELs, and she would trade me out for whatever the other pair of binoculars was. Like, at first it was a joke, but then I didn't think it was very funny because every morning I'd get up and I'd have the other pair of binoculars. So.
Well, and even a bigger aspect of that, I feel like my eyes suck, so I won't be able to pick out a lot of the finer details like you can. But it was how they felt in my hands that, what did you say, ergonomics?
Ergonomics, yep.
So that was, for glassing for long periods of time, that was what started irritating me the quickest, was that they were uncomfortable in my hands. And honestly, I still probably can't say that I would notice a difference in the glass because my eyes are bad enough to spend a bunch more money on a bino for that aspect, but it's how they felt when we were glassing for hours and hours with them because I didn't have them on a stand. But there's a lot of factors that go into it, and some of them, when we've looked through them, we can't focus.
Right.
What do you call yourself, a cyclops head?
Yeah, my eyes are really narrow, so some of them just, the actual chassis don't fit my face. They do not, their pupillary distance, now I think that's the word, the actual barrels do not get close enough for me to see a circle. I keep seeing two different images. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the technical word for that is, but some of the Vortex Vipers, they don't fit my face. The Leopold, I think they're the Mojab, don't fit my face, so I can't say how good or bad those optics really are because I can't really look through them. So that's what I mean. You got to try to get to places or get with people or get on Rockslide and say, hey, who lives in the Denver area? Mm-hmm. Who lives in the Coeur d'Alene area? Who lives in Missoula, Montana? And those guys are more than willing to come out and show you guys their optics, backpacks, clothing. I mean, I wouldn't ask him to try on his underwear, but anything. Those guys are more than willing to come help, to meet you, let you look at their stuff. And that's the smartest way for me to tell you to pick something out.
And I find that when he has trouble seeing that, I usually do too because my head's smaller, I guess. I don't know if other women have that issue too. But if he has trouble seeing the full circle in binos, I usually will too with that same pair because you'll hand them to me and ask me, and I can't see them either. But
right.
Definitely, if you're going to try out a couple pairs, do get online, like you said, to Rockslide or whoever, because when you're standing in a department store and you're looking through a bunch of them, in under 5 minutes, you're not going to see a difference, and then you're going to be like, well, that's stupid. I can't even tell. You guys are all idiots.
Right.
I mean, you may not say that, but you may.
Right.
And, you know, that's why you have to get out and use it for more than 5 minutes to really know.
Yeah, I would say optics and boots, they're so close as far as subjective. One pair of boots might not fit anybody, and it might fit everybody. One optics, your eyes could tell people, you could look through. For instance, I had the same binocular or the same spotter last year, three guys looking through it, and one guy loved them and one guy hated them, and they were top-end optic or spotter. So get out and check them out.
And if you bow hunt, you may not even need them like other people do that, like, you know, long-range hunt or whatever. So it's like, don't go and spend your money on a crazy expensive pair of binos when really you should be spending the money on your bow. I mean, you have to be obviously smart about that.
If you bow hunt in North Idaho, and hell, half the rifle hunt in North Idaho, Northwest Montana, you don't need great optics because you can't see very far.
Yeah, that's so subjective. Okay, so this one cracks me up. How much do you fight on a hunt? Should I answer that or do you want to answer that?
Go ahead.
Because I think we'll have different answers.
you answer it first, then I'll answer it.
Okay, this is a tough one because we normally will just have conversations, but because we're both loud, other people interpret them as us fighting, which we're not. And then we look around after we've like had some conversation about something and everybody's looking at us freaked out. And we're like, what? What's the problem? Why are you guys looking at us like that? But we've had a few fights on my elk hunt. There was a few spats about things. I would say probably about maybe three arguments on that that I can remember. Definitely, there's going to be disagreements. I mean, I think that can happen with anybody and their hunting partner because they're going to think you should go this way. You're going to think you should go the other way. And you guys are going to have a conversation about it. Depending on who you are and who your hunting partner is, it may get heated. So I don't really feel like it's drastically different hunting with my spouse than if he was hunting with other people. But it just depends on who he's hunting with, I guess. Let's see, my deer hunt at Robbie's. There was a couple, but nothing too horrible. I mean, nothing that's led me to like pack my shit up in the middle of the night and leave him in the tent with no truck. But yeah, there's been some times it's been pretty frustrating with, I think we figured out definitely with going to the shooting school, when he's trying to teach me something and I don't understand, he's using terminology and acronyms that I've never heard before. And it's so obvious to him. I remember in one of our podcasts, Jeff Brozovich said, oh, you know, people to, you know, break the trigger or do whatever. And I had no clue what that meant. And then I said to Ryan, I'm like, he needs to explain that, you know, because like nobody knows what that means. And he's like, everybody knows what that means. What are you talking about? And I was like, well, I don't know what it means. So I think as I get more experience, we'll probably have less disputes because he won't be needing to teach me as many things and I won't be getting as frustrated as easily. But what was your numbers?
I think the biggest problem, if you're around me and Tanya, is we're both epic smart asses. So it can be perceived as arguing. So we actually don't argue as much as people think. But the best piece of advice that I've probably ever heard that we don't listen to is my buddy Kelly said, if you're going to hike together to a spot to, say, glass, or you're going to steel hunt, don't talk to each other. And I think that's one of the best pieces of advice. And at first I was like, well, that's kind of stupid. I have to talk to her. Well, it's different from talking to her in just a general conversation or say, hey, there's a deer or there's an elk or whatever you're hunting. But we had a fight. We started talking to each other and inevitably you don't agree on something and then it becomes a fight. So, yeah, we have our fights, but I think all couples will. Nothing too stressful and nothing out of the ordinary.
Well, one of the biggest problems, like that night before that we had this fight that he talked about, was we're in southern Idaho, which you can see for 1,000 miles away, but it doesn't look like it's that far. So we said to Kelly, oh, tomorrow morning we're going to hike up this mountain and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, all right, well, I'm just going to tell you one thing. Don't talk to each other until you get to the top. And so
We didn't listen.
And we're not very smart, but Ryan will get mad really quick and then he'll be over it. But the amount of things that he says in that like 30 seconds of being mad pisses me off for the entire day. And so then I'll be pissed off for the entire day. And he's like, oh, what are you doing? What are you eating over there? What's going on?
What are you so mad about?
What are you mad about? What's the problem?
We had to take a brief break because we had to go pick up children. So we finished up on how much do you guys fight on a hunt, and now we're going to Tanya. What Sitka pieces do you like the best?
I haven't used all of them yet, but the ones that I've used, the Timberline pants, I love. They are really super comfortable, and I like how they have the pieces on the knees and the butt that are waterproof, so you can sit in glass without getting your butt wet, and they actually have a women's cut to them. They're, I wouldn't say they're slim fit, but they're definitely cut for women. So they fit really good. The lightweight, the Core heavyweight hoodie is my second favorite. It has the net gaiter built in, which is really nice when you're hiking and stuff and you don't have to wear the whole neck gaiter piece that usually drives me insane. But then if you're not using it, you don't have to have it. It tucks really nice behind your neck, so you can just have the hood up. So that I really, really like. Actually, I'd have to say that is my favorite piece above everything, even the Timberline pant. But then the Timberline pant is a close second. I really like their light and their mid-weight crew tops. They fit really well, although I do suggest if you're an in-between size typically, err towards the bigger size because they are cut pretty trim. So if you are kind of in between sizes, definitely do that, because I think you'll still have just a little bit of room to be comfortable, but it won't be baggy. Let's see, I'm trying to think. I really like the beanie and the headband is actually really nice. Sometimes if I am not feeling like I want to wear a hat for whatever reason, if it's not that cold out or whatever, the headband's a really nice option because it's really wide and it fits really good. I recently stole a piece from Ryan. I don't know if it was specifically a men's line or I believe it was unisex.
No, it's just for men.
Oh, well, it's for women now too. The vest, I don't know what its true name is, but
I think it's called the Ascent Vest.
Yeah, that sounds about right. The Ascent Vest, because it has a lot of pockets, but it's not heavy. I can put stuff in there like my ear protection or my phone and not have to sit there and dig through all my pockets. And it's really lightweight material and really breathable. And the next piece I'm actually excited to try is the Bino Harness, but I haven't received that yet. So I guess that pretty much I have really liked all of the pieces of the Sitka that I've had a chance to try out. And I'm excited to try out a few more pieces when my hunts come up.
Yeah, see, if you go back to podcast number 16 with John Barklow, he kind of breaks down how they came out with that women's line and how it's a little different than most of the women's line. They actually went and found several different body types, not just one body type. But that podcast with John Barklow, he just explains the whole 2017 line, breaks down the women's, the men's, the new stuff. So I'd check it out. And also, the one thing we talked about earlier is the parka. You really like the parka from Kufaru. It's not Sitka, but it's a staple of your...
Oh, for sure. I mean, the question was, what Sitka pieces do I use? But I would say for hunting, the heaviest jacket, if I know that I'm going to need something that's going to keep me the warmest, I'm definitely going to go with the Kufaru Lost Park parka, without question. I have tried some of the First Light women's pieces, and I do like the corrugate guide pant.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the name of the girls' pants, but
it's the
same. If they're the same as the girls' or the guys' corrugate guide pants.
So those are really durable, but they're not quite they're not cut quite as slim as the Sitka line. So if you're a little bit hippier, you may decide that you like those pants better because the Sitka is cut slimmer than the First Light clothes that I've noticed.
For jumping to other clothes, you also like the Artemis hoodie they have.
Yeah, I do love that. Actually, I bought that in a couple different colors. I bought it in black just so I could wear it out and about and not look like I'm ready to go out in the woods and hide from things.
You look like a domestic terrorist.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so I do really like that one. It's cut really nice, and it has the thumb holes, which I've noticed that most of everything does now. The Sitka does on their stuff.
Yeah.
So that's actually really nice because I do have crazy long arms and tend to not fit into any long-sleeved anything unless it's a tall fit. So I really like that. And then with the First Light, I really love their socks that I steal from you all the time.
Yep, they have compression socks. Not only does she wear them hunting, she wore them at work. She's on her feet all night.
Yeah, they are amazing. And they keep me warm, so it's really nice because they serve a double purpose. I liked the First Light. I'm sure I'm not going to call this the right thing, but they're like wool, like long johns. Yeah. You know, they are a really nice fit. They have like a nice...
They suck with names too, but it's a First Light. They actually make, I think...
Yeah, I mean, even if we knew the names, we wouldn't be able to pronounce them.
Two different weights. They make a heavyweight and a lightweight. Like I said, I'm a Merino fan, but I am more so an Arrow Wool fan on that side. They haven't made Arrow Wool for women, but I believe that if I... the stories are correct, that they are making Arrowwool for women next year. It's a poly, merino blend, and I'm spacing. I think it's episode 19 with First Light. We sat down with Ryan Callahan and Kenton Carruth, and we went through all of their 2017. It's another great podcast, but the Arrowwool will be great for tanning because it pushes the sweat out, and it's not super warm, but base layers, to me, don't need to be super warm. They need to push the moisture out. Mm-hmm. So that's why I like the Arrowwool.
I have to say, I really feel like neck-to-neck, the First Light base layers and the Sitka base layers, I like pretty much evenly because they, they thought of things that if you're not consulting women, you wouldn't think of. It's like the really wide waistband, so it doesn't like bunch up when you have it underneath other clothing. The seams aren't, they don't like rub. I don't know how to describe it, but you can tell that there was a lot of thought put into the details of the clothing, which is really, really nice because right. If you're spending that much money on clothing, you want it to fit well and function well. And usually those things never coincided before for women in hunting.
Brian, a lot of you are going to say, why don't you bring up Manamute and Mountain Hardware? Well, we're keeping it in the hunting industry because the hunting industry is putting your money where your mouth is, and those companies that we're talking about do.
Yeah, there's no point in me and I do have an advantage. You usually will try pieces from these companies, and if you recommend like the Cloudburst, if you think that's a good jacket, then I'm likely to try the women's version. And I think that is like most people. There's no reason to reinvent the wheel if I already know a product works and he's been out in the woods way, way more than I have. I'm obviously going to try the exact same product that I know that the company's put a lot of thought into for the women's line in the same version. So to me, I mean, I'm not opposed to trying other brands like, you know, Outdoor Research or Mountain Hardware. And I do have, is it the Mountain Hardware jacket you bought for me?
She has the Ghost Down jacket.
The Ghost Down jacket. And I really like it and I wear it all the time.
Might be the Ghost Whisper. I don't remember.
I don't remember either. But I mean, it's a good jacket. And if I, you know, I'm not opposed to wearing it outside, but there's no reason for me to put our money, like Ryan said, into companies that don't support the hunting industry when that's our business.
Right. Absolutely. All right. We're getting lengthy. Next question.
So you're going to have to answer this one. This is your area, especially minutes or mils. Who makes the best long-range scope?
Minutes or mils? Doesn't matter. Pick one and learn it. Pretty simple. I grew up with minutes, or I should say I started my long range hunting with minutes. I recognize inches faster than centimeters, I guess. So, but I've shot a lot of mils the last couple of years. So either way, it doesn't matter. I would say get with one and stick with one and make sure your hunting buddy or your spouse knows whatever you're doing, whether it's mils or minutes. So there's other questions. So who makes the best long-range scope? Man, there's a lot of good long-range scopes. Here's the ones I'm most familiar with. Night Force, Swarovski, their X5, Callus. I've used the Calluses a lot lately, and Schmidt & Bender. I would never pay full retail money for a Schmidt & Bender. The Callus scopes are right on that line. My favorite long-range scope now after last year is the X5. It's still spendy. But the thing about long-range hunting, it isn't cheap. There's nothing cheap about long-range hunting if you want to be good and you want to be consistent. So the Night Forces are the good middle of the road. Even ATEC R, NXS, they're all great. But if I had to pick one scope to use, I had to stay with it. This keeps coming back up, but it'd be the Swarovski X5 in 3.5 to 18. If you get the non-lighted version, the non, reticle light in there. It's 26 ounces. I think it comes up on their site as like 28, but I've had two and they've both been 26. So if you're looking for a little lighter option with a really great scope, the Swarovski X5. Why aren't you hunting with a stick bow?
Oh, yeah.
I love hunting with a stick bow, but the deal is my shoulder's jacked up, so I have to be really careful, because if you're going to hunt with a stick bow, you got to practice a lot, and when I practice, my shoulder gets really sore. So I need to have surgery on it. So this year I'm going moose hunting in Alaska in September, so I'm not going to bow hunt for elk, because I really never, ever bow hunted for deer. So I will say going into 2018...
We're talking about it.
Tanya's probably going to get a block and tackle, you know, one of those cheater bows, and we're going to get her into bow hunting, so I'll probably start shooting the stick again. Love the stick. I think I've shot 12 bulls with a stick, so I'll get back to it.
It's fun to switch back and forth. Keeps you honest.
It is.
All right.
I do love hunting with a rifle. I'm not going to lie either.
Let's see.
I have trouble with my girlfriend getting cold. What sleeping bag does Tanya use? What sleeping bag does Tanya use? This guy has trouble getting cold.
I use the Western Mountaineering Badger GWS, the 15-degree bag. And that keeps me really toasty and warm. And I like it a lot. I hate when I forget it and then I have to use somebody else's.
Yeah, she's used that a couple times backpacking with me. She's also used a 0-degree and 15-degree slick bag from Kefaru. It's synthetic fill. Obviously, the Western Mountaineering's a downfill.
Now, is that the one that I had to borrow from Brian, the new Kefaru one?
Yep.
I really liked that one, too, actually.
It's a center zip. It's a love or hate. I like them. But I'd say most of her trips, she's used a Western Mountaineer.
Yeah.
Western Mountaineering.
Yeah, and I've not gotten cold, and that is a... That's a huge feat. I know everyone says, oh, I get cold easy. No, it's in the middle of the summer, and I'm in sweatpants and a sweatshirt, and you notice he's not.
Yeah, I actually had my shirt off before the podcast, so I did everybody a favor, and I put my shirt back on.
Yeah. So, okay, let's see. What backpack do I use? I use the 22 mag in Fusion from First Light, but it's the Kefaru 22 mag bag, and I really like it.
Yeah,
it has the 22-inch frame.
Yep.
So that fits me really well, which is nice because I've had to use other packs when we were first starting out. And you can really tell the difference. And it makes a difference. It makes a big difference, especially on, I don't want to say like we have a disadvantage as smaller people, but we kind of do. I mean, you can't, we really can't pack as much weight. So if we're wearing a backpack that doesn't fit us, I feel like it compounds pretty quickly when that situation occurs. So again, you know, I mean, I know that we're talking about a lot of gear that's pretty spendy, but if you watch the classified section on First Light.
On Rockside.
First Light, why did I say that?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm thinking First Light Fusion. Sorry. Rockside, it's getting late. You can find good deals. You just have to be patient and you know what? You may not like it. She may not like it. It might be too heavy for her. I know that's one drawback people complain about. The weight of the frame and the pack from Kefaru is heavier than some packs. And it really depends on what you're going to pack with it. I mean, if you're not going to plan to have her pack like meat, then, you know, she may not need that pack. Stone Glacier makes a great pack that's super light.
I don't know. I'm naive to how far they adjust down, but I did see on Rockslide a guy had his wife, and I don't know how tall she was. She was rocking a Stone Glacier. XO makes a pack. I don't know how low. I'm naive to that. I really like Kefaru's. That's what I use. Stone Glacier makes a great pack. XO makes a great pack. Seek Outside makes a great pack, but I don't know if they fit a woman or a short stature.
Yeah.
Short stature guy. I don't know. I do know the 22 mag fits Tanya almost perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we'd recommend.
I this is another area where if you can get to, depending on where you live, if you can get to shows, I know that there's the big one in Utah in February.
Yeah, the Western
Expo. The Western Hunt Expo.
Yep.
XO is there. Mm-hmm. Kafaru was there.
Seacoast.
There's a lot of companies there.
Stone Glacier's
and
there.
And they, you know, you can try on their stuff. And even if it's a couple hour drive, it's definitely worth it because then you can test out all of those packs in one day and really be able to compare which feels best for you. And if you're going to spend that kind of money, or even just, you know, even search for deals after that, then you know what you're going to like the best instead of trying on one and then, you know, a few months later, maybe getting your hands on another one. That and the fit definitely makes a difference. I know that Aaron has helped us immensely with, you know, adjusting the straps and doing that and doing this and it, to make a right. world of difference in how they fit.
Yeah, and right now with the companies, and I beat Rockside Def, it's my baby, so I keep going back to that. Those companies, those on Rockside, have the greatest customer service on the planet. Never in a time of hunters has it been better on the gear side. So try to get to those shows. Get to the Sheep Show. They're all there. Mm-hmm. The Western Hunting Expo, they're there. I know they're at a lot of the ISEs. And again, get on Rockside and ask guys if they're in your area. And those mm-hmm. guys have been more, they've bent over backwards to come out and show you their packs. You know, people like to show their stuff off.
Even showed mine off. Yeah. I was at the doctor's office and there was a medical rep there. Then he's like, oh, you're familiar with Rockside? And I'm like, yep, I sure am. And I opened up my trunk and had a bunch of packs in there from, we had just gotten back from a hunting trip. And he's like, oh, I've been wanting to try one of those on. And I was like, well, get on over here. Let's try them on ya. You know, I mean, I think people mostly are good and want, you know, to help each other. You know, yeah. Nobody wants to see somebody miserable in a hunt, especially if they might end up helping you pack something out. You want to have a really good pack.
Yeah, and if you're spending that kind of money, believe me, I'd do the research.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Next question, and we're almost done here, so thanks for sticking with us. What boots am I using? Right now, I'm using the Lauas. I think they've been discontinued, so I can't tell you the name of them, but I'm going to be trying out some Crispies this year that I'm pretty excited to try out. I'm going to admit that I believe it's the Women's Summit that I'm going to be trying out from Crispy. This is probably one of the tougher things that I say that I have struggled with, mm-hmm. because I really hate tall boots. I don't like the feel of them. They're too stiff. So I like a lower profile boot, but I know that, you know, if you're packing weight, that's more of a challenge, you know, that's not something you really want. So, that's something I've been struggling with, trying to find a boot that is going to keep my feet warm enough. I know that's something a lot of people struggle with, but also something that fits me right. So, mm-hmm. so that's that. Anyway, oh, wait, there's one more question. I think this is for you. I don't know. Maybe it's for me. Can a fat kid really hunt the West?
This question I've been asked a lot. It's actually a question I've been asked more than any other question. And I don't know if it's because of my husky frame or what, but
you're just heavy for your height.
Yeah. As Aaron said, I'm short for my weight. The thing is I want to be real honest. If I was skinnier, hunting out in the Rockies, hunting where I hunt, would be easier. And I try to lose weight. I'm lazy. I need to get my shit together and lose weight. I try all the time.
We're drinking these smoothies.
I know. We're drinking a pina colada smoothie if you're watching the video.
That are 310.
Shh, you told them that. So seriously, though, do you have to be skinny? It's not going to hurt you. You know, and the thing that I have is I go hiking 3 to 4 times a week, and it's 5 minutes from my house, and I'm hiking in the Rockies. So if you have that, and you do, and Tanya hates the word mentally strong, mentally tough, but you have to push yourself, because if, say, you're hiking with somebody that's skinnier, on day one, your guys are fine. On day four, you know what? The fatter guy's probably going to be a little more sore, and you're going to be a little more apt to quit early.
I think it's about endurance, though, because when we went on that hike in Salt Lake, mm-hmm. I totally smoked Shane's kid up the hill, and he's like 23 and like a 105.
I don't know if that's about endurance. I just think you were into it, and he really wasn't. Maybe. And you're not fat, so it doesn't really freaking matter to you.
Well, he's not either.
Yeah, so to get back on track before she freaking interrupts, she's skinny, shouldn't be in this damn conversation.
I'm just trying to help.
Anyways, yeah, you can do it. I think I've shot an elk 11 years in a row. I think I've shot a deer multiple deer some years, more longer than that streak. So you can 100% do it, but I'm not going to lie to anybody. It would be easier if I weighed 170 or than I weigh now. I think I weigh 220, 225.
I don't know. You're the one stepping on the scale.
So, yeah, it would be easier if you were lighter, no question. But I would try to get in the best shape you could possibly be in and still go hunting. Because, like I said, I've killed elk every year, I think, for 11 years.
You just have to pace yourself differently.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny to me because I always see things on YouTube or whatever, if Ryan posts up a picture, and then somebody will comment, some internet troll, like, no way that big fat ass did ever, there's no way that he can do that.
She's helping me out there, wasn't she?
I get really mad because you know how moms are. We're like, I will meet you in a dark alley, bitch. Like, do not say that because A, it's not true, and B, it's my family. But I see that that's, people ask those questions and it's like, no, come on, use some common sense. He's not going to be keeping up with like Aaron or Billy, but that doesn't mean he's not doing it. It just might take longer.
Oh yeah. I mean, we went on that one trip, 7 miles one way, 7 miles back at 60 pounds. So it's not as easy. I'm not going to lie to you. And as I get a little older, you know, I'm not old by any means, but every year it gets a little older. I played football in the Army, so I do have a little bit of aches and pains, but I've also learned to push myself in the military, so.
I mean, it's definitely a goal. I mean, each year, like you said, it gets older and it gets harder. So, I mean, yeah, you definitely want to, like, drop the extra pounds because as you get older, your body's not going to endure as much and you're going to slow down. But, I mean, I think that's kind of a no-brainer for everybody in life as you get older.
I guess don't be lazy. Get in shape. I say that and I'm lazy, so. I guess I'm talking out my ass. Seriously, though, get the best shape you can be in.
That's all you can do.
And
then
you can go kill stuff.
You guys have your bear camp every year, and there's a lot of people there for all different ages.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys all vary in age by probably, what, 10 years, maybe 15?
We're not, probably. With Jerry, they're probably...
Well, yeah, Jerry and then Jeff
30,
probably
30?
Okay, so there's like, 30 years of difference between all these guys and all different body shapes. And they still all, go and participate and have fun. So, I mean, don't just sit on the couch and wait for yourself to get in better shape. Or don't go until you think that you're in the optimal shape. Just go and do what you can until you get to where you want. But, I mean, don't let that stop you from going. But just...
have realistic expectations.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially if you've never been to the West. Because I've seen grown, in-shape men not do well out here after a few days, because those hills, easy swings it, they can be a mind fuck. So, and on to one more thing, and then we'll announce the winner.
Is this your last question?
I have last question. two things. People have asked, why do you have to cuss? Well, I think that... We don't have to cuss.
We just like to.
But if we don't cuss, it ain't authentic. It's not us. We have every episode as explicit. We know we could throw F-bombs. Some are worse than others. I usually try to warn people at the beginning. If one is going to be worse, if I have Aaron Snyder on, you can guarantee it's going to be worse. And the other question was, how come we don't have music or, a catchy intro? If you know me and Tanya, that ain't us. If you want music and you want a catchy intro, probably just stop
listening.
I
can, lip sync some Vanilla Ice like a boss,
I don't like music. I've been doing some hunting videos we're going to put up on our website pretty soon. There'll be very limited music, if any music. It's just...
like to get right to it.
Yeah, we don't like the music part. So if you don't like that, I guess you're not going to like us. And that's too bad because I think we have some good information. So, all right, you want to announce the winner?
Yeah. All right, so we announced a few... how many podcasts ago
that
we were going to give this bad boy away? So this is the 14R... 14er, I don't know.
So, Kafaru 14er.
14er.
In multicam?
In multicam. We have not used this pack. This is brand new. This is not the one we used to pack out the bear. So it's a great little pack.
We say this like everybody's watching the video, but if you're not, it's a multicam 14er, medium belt, never been used.
It's very sexy. So we told everybody to qualify. They had to leave a comment or a review on Stitcher, Podbeam, or iTunes. And the winner ended up being on iTunes, and it was JTB. So I don't know. What is that in Army lingo?
Juliet Tango Bravo.
453. So don't try to bullshit us. We know it's going to be you if it's you, and we expect documentation to prove that you're you, because we don't want any frauds winning this awesome pack. So thanks for the comments. We appreciate all the feedback.
Yep, and you have JTB453. You have till the 28th to contact us. You can contact us at Tanya@AveryAdventures.com or Ryan@AveryAdventures.com, but you have till next Friday the 28th. And we'd also like to tell everybody, keep leaving those unbiased reviews, because we're also giving away each episode from now on a $100 gift certificate from Mountain Ops. So
they will, you can use them, it on their website. You can't use it anywhere else, but $100 at Mountain Ops.
Yep. So keep leaving review. You can leave reviews on Stitcher. I think there was 20 something reviews on there. So people are figuring it out. You can leave them on Podbean, and you can obviously leave them on iTunes. So keep leaving those reviews. Every week we'll pick a name for that $100 gift certificate.
And you want to win it, because they just came out with the Pina Colada flavor for the Ignite. And it's pretty dang good. Not saying that I've tried it or I haven't tried it, but I have. If you win that $100 gift certificate, you can get some of the Ignite. I love the Ignite. I would have to say that my favorite is the pink lemonade, though, so far.
Mine is the one that nobody likes, is grape, but I love the grape.
Yeah.
So thank you. Yep, keep leaving those reviews. Check out our YouTube channel, Avery Adventures. And you can find us everything else at AveryAdventures.com. Thanks for listening.
Like I said before, I am putting up the links to all the products that we talk about on our website. So if you click on the podcast that you are wanting to find information about, just scroll down and there's going to be links to all the stuff that we've talked about, so you can learn more about it or purchase it if you're so inclined.
We are so bad at closing these episodes. She also just put a link or a calendar. What do you want to call that?
A blog post.
Yeah. And there's a video on YouTube about how
we coordinate our
hunting season to keep us from getting a divorce. Basically how we plan it out. So go check that out on AveryAdventures.com.
All right. Thanks, guys.
We're really done.
Really done. Bye. Oh, wait. One more. Just kidding.